Folks, what's up? Basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sports and events, whether it's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. BetOnline presents the Boss Man Show on your radio. Show, we got on the show Christian Andrea with me, Train Island out there on Twitter doing his thing. Christian, what's up, brother? How is life, man?
Yeah, man, things are good. I'm in Wisconsin. It's warm. It's beautiful. It's like 60 degrees on Halloween, and Packers are terrible, but you can't win them all, right?
Hey, you're right. Hey, Lee, in Wisconsin, 60 degrees is good. Exactly. Now, in Atlanta, Georgia, where I'm at, not so good.
I mean, you got the hoodie pulled up and everything, man. It gets down to 50 out here. I'm still in shorts.
Hey, it's windy as heck outside, man. I got the hood. Like I said, I told you out there, I came in from Walmart, literally. I came in here hot, brother. Yes, indeed. Let's start with our Falcons, man. That game's Saturday. Sunday, rather, crazy. P.J. Walker, Hail Mary, prayer was answered. D.J. Moore and the guy celebrating. And, you know, people are saying D.J. Moore shouldn't dig what he did, but Eddie Pinheiro is a kicker. You're a professionally kicker. You missed. Yeah. Forget the extra point. I'll let that slide. 28 yards. But 30 yards? Come on, man.
Yeah. Eddie. He got the do-over. That was like a regulation extra point, and he biffed that too. Here's the thing, though. Like, D.J. Moore was maybe kind of smart about that, right? Because you're D.J. Moore. Who's your quarterback's been in Carolina? Teddy Bridgewater. Teddy Bridgewater is the peak, right? Then you go Sam Darnold, Cam Newton, broken Cam Newton, Baker Mayfield, P.J. Walker. He gets that penalty. They miss the extra point. They lose the game. They get one step closer to a top two draft pick. He's one step closer to playing with Bryce Young, with C.J. Stroud. That man's playing chess, not checkers.
No doubt, my man, no doubt. I said, hey, Panthers, you win by losing.
Exactly. I mean, you're Carolina. What do you got to play for? You already ruined Tom Brady's season. Good for you. That's it. You can take a break, right?
And you know who I looked at too, Christian, this brother, Baker Mayfield. You should have took that Cleveland contract when they offered it to you. Now you ain't getting nowhere near that now. Now you're the backup PJ Walker, the XFL legend.
Yeah. Hey, PJ, man, this is like, I hate to say it about your Falcons, but AJ Terrell, man, that's secondary because PJ looked bad, right? That first quarter, he was missing throws all over the place. He finally calibrated a little bit. Then all of a sudden, he turns into like early Cam Newton against y'all. That was, oh man, it was a little brutal to watch. But man, that game was like just the perfect Falcons game, right? Because it was just like, all right, we don't want to get our hopes up too much. And it was like, all right, we got our legs kicked out from underneath us and crushed us. And it's like the Panthers, like, no, we're the new Falcons. We're gonna find a way to blow this even worse. It was incredible to watch. Like I didn't tune in till the fourth quarter. I rewatched it today, right, just for this interview, and I was like, this game is out of control.
Man, Christian, watching games with the Falcons is outside to tell you, brother. Yeah, you're gonna get the full 60-minute experience, and your high becomes a low. And while watching Falcons, I said, we're up by how many points? I'm not excited still. Because this game some way, somehow. The Dan Quinn cloud, Kyle Shanahan cloud over our head still.
Yeah.
It is not went anywhere. Because week one against the Saints, it showed up again. I felt it again Sunday. It was like always, Saints Ben Stadium, something bad will happen. It's cursed, man.
Yeah, man. It's just brutal. And it's just like the resignation, right? Because every Falcons fan knows, right? You go on Twitter, no one's celebrating. Everyone's just like, we'll find a way. We'll find a way. Don't worry. Like, until that final whistle blows, like, no one celebrates. It's just amazing to see what decades of it have done to the fans out there, man. Have you seen the secret base, the story of the Atlanta Falcons, like the seven chapter over at SB Nation? They go through every year of Falcons fandom and results and basically just showcase how they found ways to just murder this fan base over and over again. It is brutal, but it makes you understand exactly why Atlanta is Atlanta.
And Christian, this is also another thing, because the Bill Mercedes-Benz Stadium, they had to destroy two churches to build that place by eminent domain.
Yeah.
Okay. So the congregation of those churches said this place is going to be cursed. And they aren't lying, because somehow, some way, it's usually a home game that happens in.
Oh, yeah.
It's never on the road, really, except for Super Bowl. It's usually a home game, Mercedes-Benz Stadium, where the bad blown leads happen. Think about that part of it too.
Brutal. Just of course this team's cursed.
Yes. Yes, you destroyed two historic churches to build that place. Now granted, I grew up 5 minutes from the place.
Yeah.
So I'm not going I grew up in the shadows of the Georgia Dome. I could look at where I grew up at.
Yeah.
So I understand that history of those two churches. It's like, you did that, Arthur Blank, Cassian Reed. Teams paying for it and blowing for quarter leads. Those spirits and ghosts come, we're going to get you today. Oh, man, it's crazy, man. It's crazy. But if I can fan. But you know what? The fans here wanted to see Desmond Ridder. I've told them, as long as the Falcons are in this race, Ridder will not be seen this year. And Marcus Mariota somehow, some way, got the Falcons be 4-4.
Yeah.
You know, I thought this team would be very worse than this, like Carolina was.
Yeah.
But 4-4, 8 games in a year that was pretty much a wash year because of all the dead cap money.
Yeah. You know, it's kind of like, the way the Eagles rebuilt, right? You're ahead of schedule, except instead of Jalen Hurts, you got Marcus Mariota, which is a little bit more depressing, right? But NFC South, totally winnable, right? Everyone else falling apart. The whole NFC, really, outside of the East, is just a mess right now. And I don't think anyone's like, oh, the Vikings are 7-1. They can make a run. Like, everyone's like, no, that's Kirk Cousins' time. Don't worry. That'll fall apart. Don't worry. Here's the thing. Like, I think the Falcons are having the season the Steelers hoped they would have, right? Where the defense is a little bit iffy, and they got this kind of veteran quarterback who can make some plays with his legs and throw downfield. That's what they thought they were getting with Mitch Trubisky. That's what the Falcons got with Marcus Mariota. And now the Falcons have this really Steelers run-heavy offense that's working. They're taking advantage. Everyone else is falling, fading. And the Falcons getting some stuff done. Yeah, it does sting, right? Because you got some great quarterbacks coming out in this year's draft. But maybe Ritter's going to be the guy. Like, I loved watching him at Cincinnati. Give him a year to get some seasoning under Mariota, a great veteran, a good leader, a guy who's going to take him under his wing. And if he does get replaced, he's not going to make a big stink about it. I kind of low-key really like what the Falcons are doing right now.
No doubt. And, you know, Tyler Allgeier, Caleb Huntley, Avery Williams, and I think this what's his name? Williams, stay on injury reserve. Don't activate him ever again. Cordero Patterson, that can be used more as a receiver now than a running back, and extra weapons to the passing game. Put him out there with Pitts and Drake London and Zacchaeus and those guys.
Exactly. And that's what you got. You got two young wide-out tight end, Pitts and Drake London, with this absurd catch radius, right? They are built to make a bad quarterback look better. So even if you do have to throw Desmond Ridder in there, he can close his eyes. He can throw it in Pitts' direction. He can throw it in Drake London's direction. There's a good chance they're going to come down with that ball. So, yeah, like, there's a lot of insulation there. Like, I know maybe some Falcons fans didn't love the idea of going skill player in top 10 and back-to-back drafts, but at the same time, quarterback selection wasn't great, and what are you going to do? You're going to pump up the next guy that comes in, even if he is flawed. You get him the guys who can bring him up, like A.J. Brown is doing with Jalen Hurts this year. You're in good shape.
And just think, if Ridley can come back next year, you have a third weapon on the outside with Patterson and those Allgeier and Huntley and those guys as well to pound and kind of create defenses being stressed when we run or pass the ball. Hey, look, we got all these weapons out here.
Yeah, man, speaking of his curse, man, how does that guy get suspended for a full season, putting down one? Well, the worst bet you can make, it was like a four-team parlay. Just, man, like, that's just the most Falcons nonsense
imaginable. And use his real name and see Ridley 11. That's what you went with, my man?
Yeah. You can just ask someone to put a bet down for you. You can just ask. You
know, I mean, 18, bro. So it was 18, not 11, 18. So why? Why, my man? Like, you use your real name from your real phone, you know? So, you know, it's just crazy. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. It's crazy that these guys are doing this stupid stuff. So it's like, yeah, man, our team is just, we're a running joke, but we're getting better. Yeah. It's not as bad as it could have been. It could have been bad if Eddie Pinheiro didn't bail us out.
You're not the Browns. You're not the Lions. Like, that's what the Falcons have always had going for them. Like, I like the Falcons' future way better than the Saints' future right now, you know?
Yeah, and, you know, Dennis Allen going Andy Dalton. And Andy Dalton won't really – he won't win you a game. He can lose you one. And if James Winston can win you a game – in a pinch, you win your game. And I feel like this Allen went away from Jameis Winston too fast. But, hey, each his own, you know. But we'll see. I don't think the Saints are going to do anything either. I think, honestly, the Bucs going to get hot. In reality, it's going to sit in again.
That's always the regression, right? You got a Tom Brady team. It's like, how long can Tom Brady and his team be this bad, right? They're not going to be 3-5 forever. But at the same time, a defense is a problem. The middle of his offensive line sucks right now. It's terrible. And that's the problem for Tom Brady, because Tom Brady can run in one direction straight ahead. He can step up in the pocket.
He looked bad when he did that.
Exactly. So if you get him from pressure around the edge, he'll step up. He'll make that play. If you get him pressure from the inside out, which the Falcons can do because Grady Jarrett is a goddamn monster, like, all of a sudden Tom Brady has to step to his left, step to his right. He can't do that. He's going to throw under pressure. He's got great wideouts, but – he's going to be dealing with what, 7 guys in coverage all the time because his run game isn't there. There's no reason to jam the box up against him, put 2 deep safeties on Mike Evans, blanket those guys. I don't know if there is a fix for the Bucs right now. As much as I want to be like, of course, Tampa Bay is going to come back and figure this out. The NFC South is pretty weak right now. They got Tom Brady. I'm not sure they will.
Yeah, I wonder when January 9th in Atlanta, would that be for the NFC South? title of something like football.
Yeah. I mean, that's in Atlanta gives me like the willies, because you're talking about that curse, but at the same time, Falcons gonna be playing pissed, right? Because what happened that first Bucs game? Grady Jarrett, the worst roughing the passer.
Jerome Vogel from Atlanta. Want the Morehouse. Screw the Falcons.
Yeah. Yeah. So like the Falcons know that, right? They're like, well, we almost overcame this deficit. We got a job by the refs. Like, we got taken care of in true Falcons fashion. Like, these guys are coming back. We're going to beat the crap out of Tom Brady. We're going to send him into retirement, send him into single life, let him be a weirdo like Tom Cruise jumping on Oprah's couch.
Yes. For all those 283 references he makes, we need to send him into the abyss one good time. Like, for all those jokes you made since 2017, Joker. The jump found us on us. You know, like, I was in Houston for that, and I couldn't. That was one of the worst experiences ever.
Yeah, dude, I can't imagine. I can't. I was just watching that. Because I'm from New England, right? I'm a Rhode Islander. I was born and raised. So, like, they won their first title when I was a senior in high school. So it was like, oh, man, finally we got through. We broke through. And, like, even, like, I was – excited as hell to see the Patriots overcome that deficit, but at the same time, like, you know, they show all the sad shots of the Falcons fans. I was working at SB Nation. We got Falcons fans all over the place, like Stephen Godfrey and Harry Lyles, and those guys are just like I don't know what I expected. You know, I thought things would be different this time, and just like the innate sadness of those guys, like, oh man, they're like, Like, I'm happy for me, but, like, I feel awful for you.
Yeah, he's never been the same ever since. And Grady Jarrett is the last one who was part of that team, Grady Jarrett. He's the last remaining one because Matt Ryan, it was Matt and Grady. Now just Grady Jarrett, the only one that was a part of that collapse when I really do blame Kyle Shanahan for this. I also blame him for it more so than I do, you know, the defense or Dan Quinn. Well, Dan Quinn could have told him not to call it for that play, but I really blame Kyle Shanahan for calling it. Let's just run the football. There's no guarantee he makes the field goal. No guarantee of it. Matt Ryan makes the field goal. No guarantee, but he's been pretty good.
Yeah, you got an old veteran, reliable kicker. Get him inside 50 yards. He's going to make that kick what? 9 out of 10 times?
And he played indoors anyway at Georgia Dome. So it's like, you know, yeah, man, it's being a Falcons fan is like torture.
Yeah.
Same as a Hawk fan, too.
Oof. Yeah, but at least you got just a little more hope on the Hawk side of things, right? You got Trey. I mean, that backslide last year was tough, but, man, like, you're, what, a year and a half removed from that Eastern Conference final?
But that was a fluke.
Yeah, a little bit, but, I mean.
I never got excited because I said this is a fluke. Last year was reality.
Yeah.
We can't beat the bigger teams.
Yeah.
So, it was like, when you get in the playoffs, all you got to do is put length on Trae Young and switch him. Make him defend.
Yeah.
And then we'll lose. If we play Miami, if we play Milwaukee again, we're in trouble. Now, Philadelphia without Ben Simmons, probably lose that series too.
Yeah.
So I always tell the Hawks fans on this show, my show here, tell me the first round team the Hawks going to be. Then I'll be willing to listen to you about a championship.
Yeah.
First round of playoffs, who are they beating? Of the top tier of the Eastern Conference. Yeah. Once you tell me that, then I will be able to listen to about Hawks maybe make a championship run. Because I don't see you beating Cleveland, Milwaukee, Philadelphia, or Miami. They're the top.
Boston too.
Last night in Toronto without Fred VanVleet got beat by 30.
All right. Okay. Yeah, I see the problem there.
So it's like I asked any Hawks fan. I love my Hawks. But you gotta tell me who we beat in the first round series. You know, that's my thing with Hawks fans. We beat. When you tell me that, then I will listen to you. So this reminds me of the old ISO Joe Hawks.
Oh, man.
Good enough to win games in the regular season. Maybe win a few games in the playoff series, but not gonna win anything. This will be a lot of excitement. Just for that letdown when it gets really serious. Joe Johnson would go off in the night in 440.
Oh, yeah. He put up 38 and then be like, all right, next slide, score 14.
Yes. So that's what the thing reminds me of. What Trae Young's playing the ISO Joe role. He can go off any night. Doesn't mean we'll win a game. We might win the game even. But when it gets really serious, are we going to win? No.
See, now I just got this image in my head of, like, Trae Young draining the three, getting the win, just completely just screaming at the fans, and all of a sudden the Hawks climb out from a 3-0 deficit to 3-1 en route to losing in five.
That happened in game four against Miami this year. He made that layup he got at the end of the game. That only happened in game four against Miami this year. You actually described really what happened in game four this year against Miami. He got the steal, got end of the game layup, the Hawks win. Game five, lose to Miami. On last second three by D'Lo, got Gallon Howard.
Yeah.
That's what last shot was in Miami, game five. D'Lo, Gallon Howard. Not Trae Young. D'Lo, Gallon Howard shot the last shot for us against Miami, game five. Back iron. The iron unkind. That's the life of an Atlanta sports fan. Then the Braves all them years, when all them championship, them big titles, but once won a World Series.
Yeah.
Until last year.
Yeah. Yeah, it was only like what, like 20 years in between World Series for you guys?
So, but since the Atlanta sports fan, what we deal with.
Yeah.
This is like, and I cover sports in the city. I'm like, that's why we just don't I get why fans don't get don't. I know why fans don't get like wrapped up because we inherently know what can go wrong will go wrong.
Yeah. Yeah. You don't celebrate that until they bring the trophy out and hand it to you.
Yes. Not until it's over. It's over and over real. We really like okay. Exhale. Now let me ask you this, man. You saw the game last night. Bengals and Browns, man. That line don't get Joe Burrow killed, brother.
What's that?
That line don't get Joe Burrow killed. That line.
Oh yeah. No, they tried. They all right. This is a team that has all this cap space, right? Because Burrow is on his rookie contract. Jamar Chase is on his rookie contract. Two of the most expensive positions in the game. And they're like, you know, we're going to go out. We're going to get Lael Collins. We're going to get Ted Karras. We're going to get Alex Kappa. The problem was, like, they had all this money to spend, and there just weren't that many really good linemen out there. You know, they should have tried and see if they could get Teron Armstead, who's working wonders in Miami right now. Instead, they kind of had to settle for that second tier of guys. And, yeah, like you said, things haven't really changed for Joe Burrow, right? I mean, the games they lose are because he's getting the crap eaten out of them. And like early on, you could say like, okay, this team didn't play together, right? This is a team that didn't take a single snap together in the preseason. Joe Burrow had that appendicitis. So this is why they're coming together slow. Last night though, like what happened? Like all the progress they'd made, they started looking like, okay, this team can compete in the AFC. They might be able to throw a wrench in the Bills' plans and Chiefs fans. Then you see him last night, 25-0 after three quarters. No, wrong, terrible. I don't know how you trust the Bengals at this point right now, but I mean, we would have said the same thing last year. They're capable of making this run, but you don't like how are you going to bet on the Bengals knowing they can do that at any given moment?
No doubt. And Zach Taylor to me is like Sean McVay. The play calls got stale.
Yeah,
it's the same level personnel.
Too much credit. You give him too much credit. Like Taylor was just kind of a victim of circumstance. He's got great playmakers. This is a dude who is not really proven to be good at any level. He's not really innovative. He's not really interesting. This is a guy who he was an offensive coordinator for 1 year in college at the University of Cincinnati. This offense didn't crack the top 100 in the FBS. He just happened to be standing close enough to Sean McVay when that was a hot thing. And they're like, Bengals are like, you know what? We need someone who's not Marvin Lewis in here. And that's when they're like, okay, Zach Taylor, see what you got. He was on the hot seat last year, wins the AFC title, and makes us all forget about it. But he's still Zach Taylor. He still kind of sucks.
Yeah, his play calling is desired. And let's talk about play calling. Somebody who I know very well, Matt Ryan in Indianapolis. Frank Wright, let's go. Marcus Brady today. You know, he's a scapegoat now for Frank Wright calling inside zone. Out of shotgun on fourth and one, kind of like how Matt Nagy used to in Chicago. Yeah. Inside zone, fourth and one, running inside zone. Let's do that. Yeah. You know, like, really?
Yeah.
Like Frank Wright and Ballard, I think they're on the hot seat. Ursa's getting more involved now. I think Wright won't survive. Matt Ryan was a scapegoat as well for Ballard's bad building of offensive line. Now, granted, Matt Ryan's arm is shot too, but he caught a lot of hell for self that the Colts lacking of their, you know, their roster building. So it's like, we're also that mess in Indianapolis, man.
No, that's the thing is that Ballard does a great job. Like, he drafts well, right? And he brings in some good low-key free agents, but he sucks at making a splash, and he sucks at finding a quarterback. And that's been the problem, right? Every year, it's a different guy behind center in week one. And you look at it and you're like, okay, if I squint hard enough, I can see how this works, right? Like Phillip Rivers can get it done. He's finally away from the Chargers. He can get it done. Or Jacoby Brissett. Let's give him a chance. Let's see what he can do. Okay, let's see what Matt Ryan still got in the tank. Because maybe the same thing, right? You go from the Chargers, a cursed franchise, to Indianapolis. That worked out for Rivers. Maybe Matt Ryan can do the same thing. But like you said, his arm, not there anymore. His offensive line in Indianapolis. That was a big selling point, right? Like the Colts had some guys who were road graders. Quentin Nelson get out there. Braden Smith. Turns out those guys they're not working together right now. They're not gelling well. They don't have a left tackle. So Matt Ryan was getting the crap beaten out of him. Sam Ellinger got the crap beaten out of him by a not great pass rush last week via Washington. Now you can't get the run game going because you don't have a pass game to back anyone off. You got all these interesting, pretty good wide receivers, although Pittman dropped a terrible fourth quarter pass that could have maybe sparked a comeback real late, and it doesn't really matter. I don't know. If you're the Colts right now, I don't know if Frank Reich is necessarily the problem because you got failures everywhere. Maybe he gets another year. Maybe they see, all right, you know what? They're already kind of punting on the year, right? Because they're like, Sam Ellinger is our quarterback from here on out. Like, that does not scream to me like we think we're going to make the playoffs. That seems to me like we're going to try and see if we can get a top 10, top five pick. I think maybe you keep Frank Reich around, give him 1 year with whatever quarterback you draft next season, and you hope Chris Ballard doesn't go out there and be like, ah, Jimmy Garoppolo, here you go. Here's a 1 year, $25 million deal. Because that's not going to work. But that might be what Chris Ballard does because that's exactly his MO. I don't know. I don't know if Reich is necessarily the problem right now. I think just the way the team's constructed, it's been this house of cards. Like, it's a whole bunch of good players without anyone that was really great, aside from maybe like Shaq Leonard in the middle of that line, maybe DeForest Buckner up front. But the guys you need to make plays aren't there right now. And Jonathan Taylor can't eat if no one's blocking for him, if no one's throwing the ball for him. So it's a real tough scene for the Colts. They're going to sit out the rest of the year. They should. They need to go out, see if they can get themselves on Will Levis or Hendon Hooker, because they need a franchise quarterback.
No doubt. And Baltimore, who could be 8-0, arguably, goes like getting Roquan Smith for a client, a 2-5. So the fact of the body is Lamar and Roquan represent themselves. They have a quandary on their hands with the contract issues with both those guys. But great talents, but they represent themselves.
Yeah. And I don't understand why they keep yanking Lamar around. Like, they were incredibly unserious about his contract, right? They like floated the terms of it to make it seem like, oh, we're negotiating good faith. But they were offering like $40 million less in guarantees than Kyler Murray got. And Kyler Murray, I don't know if you know this, is Kyler Murray. He's not Lamar Jackson. He's not an MVP. Poor Lamar is out there throwing to a bunch of like old department store mannequins. He's still getting it done. He's still running, even though teams are like, we're going to throw everyone in single coverage and jam the box and try to crush you behind the line of scrimmage. He's still getting it done. So, like, I don't know. I'm interested to see what they do. Trade deadline is what, in 3-4 hours now? So we're getting pretty close. Maybe they add a wide receiver. Maybe they go out and get Chase Claypool. Maybe they go out and get Brandon Cooks. Either guy would be a nice little fit there. But I kind of appreciate, okay, let's go out and let's rebuild this Ravens defense. Because right now, like Ravens D, you think of the Ravens D, you go, all caps. You go, oh, Ray Lewis and Ed Reed and all these guys.
Terrell Suggs, all those guys.
Exactly. Guys who just want to beat the crap out of you. Guys who are everywhere. No quarter in the run game. No quarter in the passing game. Right now, this defense, not very Ravens-like. They got a nice young core now. They're going to have to extend Roquan. There's no way they don't get that done after trading the second for him. They have a whole bunch of guys who are under 27, who are signed through 2024. I think they're kind of insulating themselves in case they have to play without Lamar, which is wild to think about. They won't get to that point. They can franchise him. They can continue to yank him around for a while. But like, if you're the Ravens, just pay the man. He's the best quarterback you've had, maybe since inception. I don't know.
Yeah, because they started off with Trent Dilfer, and Vinny Testaverde, to Kyle Bowler and Joe Flacco.
Yeah, Flacco is probably like the high point, right? Like, he had that one amazing postseason run. He gets that incredible contract, and he goes right back to being Joe Flacco. I mean, all praise to him. He was a finesse god that postseason. He got his money. But, like if that's your history, like, I get it. Like, for the Ravens, like, we just build a great defense. We can have a nobody at quarterback. We can win a Super Bowl with Trent Dilfer. But, like, you lucked into a great quarterback. You lucked into a game changer. When Lamar Jackson slid all the way to the end of the first round, you traded up to get him. You knew what you wanted. Do something with it. Don't just be the Ravens anymore. Take it the next step.
Yes, got two more for you. Why don't Mike Tomlin fire Matt Canada? It's not working.
No, it hasn't worked, and everyone knew. Everyone knew. Like, every LSU fan I talked to was like, "Thank God he's gone." Not the reaction you want when your OC gets hired away. I don't know, man. I think Tomlin's maybe got like a little sense of loyalty to him. I think he's going to let him ride it out the year. Again, this is a good situation for the Steelers where they're not going to make the playoffs. They are, by point differential, the worst team in the NFL. They're trying to figure out what they got in Kenny Pickett, but I don't think Kenny Pickett being on the roster, if they luck their way into like a top two, top three pick, is necessarily going to mean we're not going to take a quarterback. You know, they might do the Josh Rosen, Kyler Murray dance if it comes down to it. So, I think Tomlin right now knows, like, all right, this is going to be our reset year. We're going to take a minute. We're going to get TJ Watt back. We're going to see if the defense can do anything. But mostly, we're going to bide our time and set things up for next year, because they still got a whole bunch of old Ben Roethlisberger money on the dead cap, I believe. And there's nothing really going on they can fix right now, aside from, you know, maybe draft a few more wide receivers in the second round, third round. They could turn into stars. So Canada sucks. I don't think he makes it next year, but Steelers don't really fire guys in the middle of the season. They are an old school franchise. I think they're going to give him a chance to turn things around, or at the very least ride it out and then be like, all right, man, good luck.
No doubt. I got last one for you. It's a Falcons one. Isn't it kind of mighty funny how the Falcons got off of Julio Jones and Matt Ryan before they win the tank here in Atlanta?
No, it's amazing. Kind of some dumb
luck, but it happened.
It's amazing because, like, everyone when you saw those trades is like, man, Julio Jones for a second round pick. That's like, oh man, the Falcons got fleeced. He's still Julio Jones. Like, he was hurt last year, but he's still, like, even if he slows down, he's a monster. And it's like, oh man, they got the better end of that deal by a long shot. Same thing with Matt Ryan. Like, man, good for the Falcons. Like, they're setting up that rebuild well. And, like, I do kind of like the way that they have been drafting. There's light at the end of the tunnel there. The problem is, you know, it's still the Falcons, so you're always going to be like, all right, how are they going to screw this up?
No doubt. Well, Christian, it's been fun. It's just getting real soon, brother. I enjoy the energy. I know you're a little under the weather. Thank you for doing the show, brother.
Yo, JR, this is a lot of fun, man. It was a pleasure. Let's do it again sometime.
Folks, what's up? Basketball is back, and BetOnline remains your number one source for all your sports betting needs this season. You'll always find the latest odds, team matchup info, player news, and game trends at BetOnline. And as your continued source for all sports wagering information, BetOnline features live betting, free contests, and giveaways all season long. Always the fastest and easiest way to bet all your favorite sport and events, whether it's NFL, NBA, NHL, MMA, tennis, boxing, or even golf. Head to betonline.ag to join and receive your 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Make sure to use the promo code BELIEVE, that's BLEAV, to receive your rewards. BetOnline, where the game starts. BetOnline presents the Boss Man Show on your radio.